Some of you may have heard this story of a man who's looking for his keys on a street corner, and along comes someone to help. And that person begins to help him look, and then along comes someone else, and pretty soon there's about 10 people looking for this man's keys, and they've been looking for some time. And finally somebody says, you know, where exactly did you lose these keys? And he says, oh, about 2 blocks over. Well, why in the world are we looking here then, they said. And he said, because the light is a lot better here. And in a way, that's what we do, right? We want to hang out where it's light and bright, even if what we lost is in the dark. And this is the work of this week, addressing shadows and saboteurs. This week in our series, we're in the fourth week, we're working with the book, The Hope by Andrew Harvey, A Guide to Sacred Activism. And many of you are in study groups, and some of you are following along with the study questions and the chapter readings that are in your bulletin each week. So this week is really about bringing it forward, you know, into the light, so we can find the darn thing that we lost, whatever it is, or that we don't even know exists, but is sort of that underpinning, that soundtrack that's running our lives that isn't necessarily so productive for us. That's its shadow, in the shadow kind of work. So Andrew Harvey names 5 inner saboteurs, and he's talking about those in the context of our world today. So he's saying essentially that these 5 inner saboteurs can get in the way, they can sabotage our work to transform and rebirth and bring forth the kind of world that works for all. And so he names them, they all start with a D to help us remember them. And so the first one he says is disbelief. That a lot of us are in this state of, I cannot believe this is happening. I don't believe it's happening. Whatever it is. For a lot of us, what brings us all together is the climate change things that are happening. And so many people are in that state of, I don't believe it, you know, and in this disbelief place. And he's saying we need to embrace our disbelief and move through it, move on. And very closely aligned with disbelief is denial. You know, it's not happening. And he says, well, that's the most dangerous of the saboteurs, to deny what's happening. And then the third one, he says, is, and this is once we start to move through the disbelief and denial, is dread. Ooh, you know, it doesn't feel very good. If this is so, it doesn't feel good. And then we can even go into disillusionment. I'm disillusioned with my life, I'm disillusioned with the world, I'm disillusioned with, you know, this whole thing that we built, I'm disillusioned with the American dream, you know, it's like, I don't know what to do now. You know, there's just a sense of disillusionment. And finally, the last one, he says, when we can get to that place of paralysis or numbness and even a desire to cease to be. So these saboteurs are helpful for us to just be aware of. That they can come up, and to be aware to do the dance with them, because that's essentially what we're doing, is a little shadow dancing with all of this work. And the shadow work, the saboteur work, is just about really shining a light, taking a look, you know, looking in an unflinching way at the reality around us or the reality within us, and not making that the divine truth, because it's not the divine truth, but it is a relative truth that we're dealing with. And so to deny it is not helpful, is not going to help us work towards the rebirth and the transformation that we want. So the shadow work is the looking. So I'm going to, you know, he names the saboteurs. I'm also going to name some of the shadows, both personal and collective, because part of it is the naming, is just the bringing it out. In the cue process, that's a technique that we have available, or a system of thought and work, a practical system, that we use in Unity. So Reverend Denise, as you, some of you know, our interim minister who was here for 6 months before me, has been coming back and sharing the Q process with us 2 or 3 times a year. So if you're interested in doing some personal shadow work, I recommend that. It's a 1-day training, and then you get a workbook. And I still use my workbook. And you have, you know, coaching sessions. And so you can use that tool to help you identify your shadows and heal them and bring them into the light. And basically, their work, it's Gary Simmons and Jane Simmons, who are Unity ministers, and Rima Benario, the 3 of them who created this together. And their work is they basically categorize the personal shadows. So they say, you know, there's the category of unworthiness, and that can be a lot of things. You know, I feel unlovable, or like I don't belong, or, you know, that I'm not capable in some way, which sort of then bleeds over into the next one, which is lack. And in the lack category, we might think that we aren't enough in some way. We're not good looking enough or skillful enough. But we also may think there's not enough. You know, there's not enough time, there's not enough money, very common ones. And then the last main category is safety. And so under safety, of course, we may feel, you know, I'm not safe. That might be the underlying belief, or a sense of anxiety or uncertainty. So all of those things can be part of our shadow work. And so when we do the work, it might look something like paying attention to patterns or hot buttons. So say a coworker says something to you, some just passing comment, and you get extraordinarily angry. And you think, wow, this anger is sort of out of proportion with the comment that they made, even though that does really make me mad, you know, so still have that kind of, you know, space that we're in. And so that might be a way that it triggers us, or it reminds us that some hot button has been pushed, and maybe that's a shadow, an underpinning. And what that is there's an underpinning core belief, a false belief about ourselves that's getting triggered, that's saying I'm not good enough in some way, or I'm not worthy in some way, or I'm not safe. And so then there may be a projection pattern. You might notice that you know, your spouse or somebody, you might say, you know, he really thinks he's something, you know, or, you know, really thinks he's special. You know, like those kinds of thoughts that you might start to have about somebody, these judgmental thoughts that you're projecting on somebody. But you can see if you are continuing to project that kind of idea, that underneath that might be about yourself a belief that you're not important, that you're not something special, that you're not of value. And so as we do the work, we begin to uncover that. As we shine the light, we uncover that, and we bring it up into the conscious mind. This is unity work, the three phases of mind. Classic metaphysics, Charles Fillmore. Charles Fillmore is a co-founder of Unity. If you're not familiar with the Fillmores, Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, a married couple, were the ones that created Unity, all of this, the whole movement. And Charles' work around metaphysics and the three phases of mind, it's actually one of the trinities in unity, is the three aspects of mind. And he says that the way all this works is that there's one way it's supposed to work, he outlines for us. So there's three phases of mind. The super consciousness is the divine mind, the divine intelligence, the truth, the absolute truth. The conscious mind is the mind that most of us are very familiar with. The conscious mind tells you, I'm at Unity of Walnut Creek right now. It's 12:11. I'm sitting in a chair. I'm listening to a talk, or I'm daydreaming. You know, whatever it is that you become aware of, right? So when I said that, some of you went, oh, yeah, I was daydreaming. And that became conscious. It was unconscious before, but now it's conscious. And so that's the conscious mind, whatever you're aware of. So when we use the word consciousness, it's all that we are aware of. And then there's the subconscious mind. You can think of it as subterranean. You can't really see it, right? This is shadow work. That's where the shadow hangs out. And so then the shadow, then once illuminated, is brought up into the conscious mind. So Charles Fillmore says the way it's meant to work is that the subconscious is like this plate in which the superconsciousness impresses upon it the truth of who we are. You are valuable. You are worthy. You are enough. You are a child of God. You are beautiful. That's the truth of who we are. And it's meant to work so that it gets impressed upon the subconscious and it rises up into the conscious mind. And that's how we know ourselves. That's how we think of ourselves. That's how we operate in the world. He said where it all went wrong is when we forgot that we were divine. We forgot that there was this superconscious mind that was a part of us, and that we had access to that full absolute truth and divine intelligence. And so we stopped using that to impress upon our subconscious, identified with this conscious mind, and began to impress upon the subconscious whatever was in the conscious mind, for good and for evil. And so we have a mix of things in that subconscious mind, some of it very positive, if you will, and some of it more negative. And so the shadow work is when the negative becomes known. And that's pretty much what we're doing. So there are these personal shadows and this personal shadow work where we might have something come up, like I was mentioning earlier, a pattern of projecting or a button getting pushed. And then we can ask ourselves, you know, we can look into that. What's going on for me? What am I really feeling? What am I, you know, what's the soundtrack, the broken record that's running underneath my life that might even be running the show? You know, so if you've got a broken record that keeps saying, I'm not safe, or I'm not worthy, or I'm not important, you can see where these buttons are getting pushed and this projection is happening. And you can begin to then to heal that shadow as you bring it into the light. This is the key, you see? It's left in the dark. We have to go to the dark to go find the key. It's not going to be found if we just keep hanging out in the light and bright spaces saying everything's joyful, everything's peaceful, everything's fine, it's all in divine order. Now, those are statements of truth, absolute truth, but we are also, and in this work and in this book and this call to sacred action, we are being awakened, maybe shockingly so, to go, oh, wait, in the relative world, even within myself, there are some things that need attention. There are some things that need to be put into the light. There are some things we all need to take a look at. So there are also collective shadows that we're probably all very aware of. Sharif Abdullah is the one I look to who's identifying collective shadows, and he's doing some work now with Unity Churches. And he's identified 4 American collective shadows and work to go, his work is called Shadow to Light, his program, and it's to bring those 4 shadows into the light. And he names those 4 shadows as violence, otherness, and the other is manifests, as we know, as sexism and racism and so on. And then lack, which manifests as both a sense of poverty, but also a sense of greed and hoarding. And then finally, despair that manifests itself as depression and suicide and so on. When we move those shadows into the light, a transformation occurs, right? Violence, when moved out into the light and healed, becomes security and peace for all. And otherness, when healed and brought out into the light, becomes inclusive community for all. And when we take lack and we bring that into the light, it becomes abundance and even sufficiency for all. And finally, when we bring despair into the light, there is a sense of deep fulfillment, of divine purpose, a real sense of, wow, this is why I'm here, really being on target with our purpose, a sense of our gifts. And so that's the movement that we're headed toward. But the thing is, we can't just turn a blind eye and say some of it's not happening, because then we won't really have the real experience, the whole experience that we are meant to have as divine human beings. And some say we won't even exist. So, you know, depending upon how deeply and widely you're hearing this clarion call to wake up, some of us might think it's as urgent as Andrew Harvey keeps trying to tell us it is through his passionate voice in this book. So that collective shadow work can be done in lots of ways. Yesterday, I witnessed a very important and clear way in which it was done, a beautiful way in which it was done. I went to the Bioneers Conference in Marin, and I went to the Indigenous Forum where 4 Native elders sat on a panel and told about California's history. If you don't know about it, it's pretty brutal. Of their people, of the genocide and the dishonoring of women and the erasure from the history books and so on it went. Some tribes aren't even federally recognized, so they can't even actually today legally practice their religion or their ceremonies. So there was all these things, you know, all these levels of sorrow, but really what was happening there was a healing, because the room was packed and we were all bearing witness to this shadow, this huge collective American shadow that was coming out into the light. And we could hold it in that space of light. And then we could begin to talk about some of the things that are being done. Now, they call this process not truth and reconciliation that came out of South Africa and the Canadian indigenous people have done recently, but these folks decided it can't really be reconciliation at this point because some of those sacred lands, their parking lots and shopping malls and paved over their ancestors, but it can be truth and recognition. And so that's what we're in now, a process of truth and recognition, of telling those stories, bringing them into the light, and just holding them there. To even be able to say, wow, I'm so sorry that that happened to your ancestors. And as one of the elders said, it's nobody's fault in this room, but it's still there and we need to address it and talk about it and heal it so we can move forward. That's what keeps us blocked. Our personal shadows and our collective shadows, that's what keeps us from the joy and the peace and the world that works for all, that all of us envision and know in our hearts. But we can't go there if we keep denying and trying to do a workaround, a spiritual bypass. You know, Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for God is with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. It's a beautiful verse to remind us that the presence of God is always with us. But there's also a key operative word in the beginning. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It does not say I run from my life, I run away from, or it doesn't say I go around, and it doesn't say I pitch a tent in the middle of the shadow of the valley of death. But I walk, and this is what we're doing. We're walking. We're walking as the full marriage of the sacred activist and the divine mystic. We're walking as the holistic divine human being. We're walking as the sacred masculine and the divine feminine together. But none of that can come together in a holistic way unless we do the work to also look for the keys in the dark and bring them into the light. So this is some of the ways that this is unfolding for us. What is it that's under the shadows, or what is the shadow? It's really just ignorance, right? It's a not knowing. That's the whole point of the shadow. We don't know it's there because it's in the subconscious mind or the subterranean world, and it isn't until it comes up and breaks earth, so to speak, or comes out into the conscious mind that we recognize that it's even there. So our ignorance becomes knowledge, self-knowledge, know thyself. You know, that's the oracle and the over the temple in the Temple of Delphi. You know thyself, that's the inscription. And so that's what this work is. It's a call to know ourselves in all ways, dark and light. So much of our unity teachings around the transcendent and the spiritual and the mystical have left us so far into the light, which is fabulous, and we want to be in the light, that shadow, we can't see that shadow side of the denial piece. And so that's why this work is so important, is to enlighten us, so to speak, to enlighten these shadows. So the ignorance, of course, is one thing that's obvious, but then what's really driving it all is fear, right? Anybody know the acronym for fear? Yeah, that one's been around for a while. Isn't that good? False evidence appearing real. Yeah, false evidence appearing real. Oh, I've heard that one before too. Forgetting everything is all right. Yeah. So anyway, so there's this sense of fear underneath it all, right? That's the shadow. That is the idea of the beliefs that we hold, that it's just out of fear. That's why we have the collective shadows of violence and other and despair and lack, because of fear, right? That's how else, what else could it be? Anadea Judith says that scared is sacred scrambled. So we've scrambled the sacred. That's what happened, right? And if we scrambled it ourselves, we can unscramble it. And this is how we do it, by looking, by naming, by bringing out into the light, by healing, and allowing it to dissolve in the light of God's love. That's the work that we're up to. So, you know, there's also the bringing into the light can be lightening it up, you know? Feels kind of heavy, right, to talk about shadows and saboteurs, and it's like, oh, this is heavy stuff. And it is heavy stuff. And I don't mean to make light of it by not acknowledging the sorrow and the heaviness. But at the same time, sometimes we ourselves need to lighten up, and it makes it easier for us to do a little dance with the shadow if we do. So we can name our shadows, you know? Oh, there goes, you know, Grumpy Joe, or, you know, Critic Carrie has arisen, or Judgy Jim, or whatever it is, you know. We start to name these different aspects. It might be a fun thing to do at home, although, you know, I don't know, maybe try this yourself before you try it at home with others. But it may be fun to begin to sort of name everybody's shadow, you know, at home, and let the person name their own first, though. This is important. Important rule. Name your own shadows. Everybody might be thinking it, but you name it. But make it a little more fun, you know, to be a part of this heal. Lighten it up, literally. And as we move through walking this valley of the shadow of death that it feels like at some times, we can just walk through with that wand of light. Bring things out into that present light. And then we come into the bright light of spirit, you know, with keys in hand, with wand in hand. And those keys are the keys to healing and to empowerment and to transformation. That's what we're moving toward. I had a dream. I think I have time to tell you my dream. Subconscious work is really wonderful in the dream world. The dream world reveals to us what's going on in our subconscious. I had a dream last Sunday that, it kind of starts out gross, so I'll just like forewarn you of that for a moment. So I was vomiting. And then I was okay. And then I was walking around and somebody else was vomiting. And then somebody else, and then somebody else. And I thought, oh, and I felt for each one of them like, oh no, they're sick. But everybody was okay. And so I realized some great purging was going on. Right? Just like if we were crying and cleansing, there's lots of ways that we cleanse. The rain, the song about rain that John just sang. Ways that we let go of what's there, that nauseous feeling, whatever it is, we just let it go. In the dream, the next scene was that I had asked a male minister friend of mine to come give a presentation on healing the earth. And then I wondered, why did I ask him? He's not even the appropriate person. I should have asked his wife, who's brown-skinned, indigenous, and feminine, to give a talk on healing the earth. And so then I asked her instead. And then I went into his church, and there was this huge tapestry. It was orange, and it was a thick woven rug, and it was hooked up at the top of the ceiling that was like as high as a gymnasium ceiling. And it was hooked just where the ceiling and the wall meet. And I walked all the way up on this tapestry, and I was about to unhook it. You know, it was kind of at a diagonal. And then I thought, I was the only one there, and I thought, well, this isn't very safe. When I unhook it, guess who's coming down with the tapestry, right? So I was just standing there wondering what to do in the dream. And I finally decided, you know, I was thinking it wasn't very smart, I shouldn't do it, I should wait till other people are there. And then I finally decided, no, I think I can do this. So I braced myself against the wall, quickly unhooked it, and then sort of catapulted myself down like a giant slide. You know, and then it ended up, you know, sort of exhilarating, actually. It was that scary fun thing, you know? You ever have that scary fun thing? So for me, what the dream was, besides about the purging we all were doing, was about recognizing that we need to unhook the old ways of being, the old structures, the old understanding of the patriarchal world, in part. And what that means is not about not men, and now it's only women. You know, please don't misunderstand what that's about. That's not what it's about. It's about a world that is not working for us because it has gotten way out of balance. And so there is too much competitiveness, too much greed, too much, you know, violence, all these things that have gotten way out of balance. And so the unhooking was the unhooking of these ways of being. And the orange tapestry, it was orange, I thought of my friend Dr. Carrie Vaughn, who told me, if hospitals were painted orange, everybody would heal a lot faster. Orange is a healing color. It's the second chakra. It's a place where we have a lot of work to do, but it's also the womb. And so it's a healing color. And so in the end, I was safe, and I was able to recognize the kinds of leadership we need and the kind of thing that needs to be unhooked. And my own dream was both personal and collective. Sometimes we have those dreams that have those over, you know, weave in both the personal and the collective. So I could see my part in it as well as what was going on collectively. So I share that with you so that to inspire you, hopefully, to pay attention to your own dreams. It's really rich material that we're working with during this series. And so your subconscious and your shadow is likely to be active and wanting to come out and be exposed in the light. So maybe have a journal next to your bed and a place where you're journaling your dreams and then reflecting upon them later, ways that your subconscious mind may be trying to show you some messages for what is yours to do. So I hope you have a wonderful week of addressing shadows and saboteurs. Don't forget your wand and to make of it a light experience. Let's close out with this affirmation together. Together, I illuminate the shadows with the divine light of recognition. So it is.